Hi and welcome back. This is episode number 268. Today I am speaking with Eric Manalastas. He is the founder and CEO of Next BPO Solutions. So we've been acquainted for some time, but we've only met properly last weekend when I was down in Davao for the ICT conference there. We'll explain what the ICT conference is in the podcast. We talk about it, but you know, I had a great conversation with Eric. It was great to see what they're doing down in Davao. It's great to see the skills available down there and the opportunities for offshore staffing for Western businesses out of the Mindanao and Davao region. So I really had a great conversation with Eric, learned a lot, and I'm sure you will do too. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/268. Enjoy. This podcast is brought to you by Payoneer, the leading global B2B payment solution for the outsourcing industry. If you're a BPO or freelancer or have outsourced staffing, then Payoneer makes sending and receiving international payments super simple, quick, secure, and of course, low cost. They have some fantastic features which have been designed specifically for the needs of this industry. You can easily manage payments between your clients, staff and suppliers across multiple currencies and international bank accounts. Payoneer help make outsourcing easy, so consider them now. And if your BPO, clients or suppliers aren't already using Payoneer, then ask them why not. For a limited time, Payoneer is offering a $50 bonus if you sign up now. So go to register.payoneer.com/OA. Or go to our website and we will have links there. Hi and welcome back, everybody. Today we're joined by Eric Manalastas. Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Eric?
Fantastic. Fantastic. And you are the founder and CEO of Next BPO Solutions. You are based down in Davao, and we actually just spent the last couple of days together down in Davao at the ICT conference, which we can also hear a little bit about as well, that you're obviously involved in. So it's my first visit to Davao and super excited to get down there. And I want to hear a little bit about Davao. But thank you so much for joining us on the show. And I suppose, first of all, can you just give us a brief overview of what Next BPO Solutions is?
Yes, Next BPO Solutions is a dedicated staff outsourcing company. We're based in Davao. We were born in Davao. We started the company 10 years ago in July of 2009. So we've been around for more than 10 years. And we've been providing services to clients from New Zealand, Australia, UK, Ireland, including Netherlands, and then US and Canada. We operate 24/7, and we have more than 250 people in our operation site.
Great. And I was talking to you over dinner for quite a long time, and you've got an extraordinary kind of background into IT. You're certainly no slouch in terms of the technical aspects of IT outsourcing and IT requirements. What was your background prior to Next BPO?
I have more than 20 years of experience in IT. I started joining IT, getting into the field in early 1990s. That's when the computing technology started picking up in the country. And that's also the time when we introduced and pioneered the services of internet in the Philippines, especially here in Davao and in General Santos City and other parts of the islands in Mindanao. So from that experience, I've become exposed to the needs of the enterprise. So I've doubled into the system integration, helping provide technical solutions, not only to the email, but also voice over data requirements of our clients. Way back before people were talking of voice over data, we've been doing it already in the early 90s.
So you actually hacked together your first voice over internet protocol, yeah?
Yes. I don't know if people can still remember the technology frame relay. We were using microwave for backbones. But that's what we do. And then eventually, everything became web-based. So I Went into consulting services. I had my own consulting company for 7 years in Makati, doing web design and web presence consultancy services for my clients there, a lot of them enterprise clients, until I returned to Davao in 2006 and got into the outsourcing industry because I saw a big opportunity there and started the company in 2009 based on my experiences about how an outsourcing service should be done, especially if you're focusing with the small and medium enterprises.
Sure, sure. So you returned to Davao, you are from Davao. Can you give people, you know, because firstly, I think Philippines is pretty much off the map for a lot of people. A lot of the time, which is a fantastic thing, outsourcing is people's first introduction really to the Philippines in many cases. Mm. And Davao, you know, a lot of the outsourcing happens in Manila, and there's now a big government push to get the benefits of outsourcing out into the provinces and the secondary and tertiary cities. Can you give us a background on Davao? What's the city like?
Yes. Okay. First off, Davao is more than 1,000 kilometers down south of Manila. We're in the southern Philippines. We're situated in one of the biggest islands in the country. Not too many people maybe know this, but Davao is actually the largest city in the Philippines in terms of land area. So we're down south. We're the largest city in the island. It's the main commercial hub in the island called Mindanao. We are a city now of more than 2.5 million people. That number grows during the weekdays because a lot of employees or workers from different cities converge into Davao during the weekdays and they go home on the weekend. Mm. We are a big city. It's highly urbanized. We are also called the safest city in the Philippines, I think, because we pioneered the implementation outside of the U.S. We pioneered the implementation of 911 in the country.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a big destination. For outsourcing, other than Manila, Davao is the next one of the largest destinations for outsourcing in the Philippines.
Fantastic. And we met at the ICT Council, and that is maybe you can explain it better than me, but it's a council to sort of shepherd in the best of IT services and provisions and trying to get the attention into the provinces and the support of central government. Is that right?
Yes, yes. The ICT Council of Davao is the umbrella organization of different trade associations. There's more than 30 trade associations in Davao. I happen to lead one of the trade associations, which is called the BPO Association of Davao. I'm serving currently as the president of the association. So all of these are trade associations, software associations, graphic designers, animators, inventors, all IT-related associations fall under the umbrella organization called ICT Davao, which I also serve in the board. ICT Davao is the promoter. It basically promotes technology industry in the city and also laying the standards. We're promoting Davao. We had a summit last Monday, I think Monday and Tuesday. The purpose of the summit was to introduce Davao and the rest of Mindanao into the oncoming revolution of the industry called Industry 4.0 and eventually going into the digital economy. So the organization, ICT Davao, is the one leading into that drive.
Incredible. So, you know, a lot of outsourcing has the association with call centers and voice accounts and, you know, kind of mindless repetitive tasks. But there's so much more to outsourcing, isn't there? You know, there's the highest of technical roles. There's the most competent IT functions. What can you say in terms of that, in terms of your sort of personal experience?
Yes. When people talk about BPO, they talk about, you know, maybe call center. But it's, what we are doing here in Davao is actually more than that. The call center, the contact center service is just one of those. So we also have a lot of IT people that are involved in the industry, people that are involved in development, people that are involved in digital marketing, people that are involved in software development, even for gaming. and also people providing high-level technical support for different enterprise applications. We have like SAP or network center management. At the moment, we even have a team in our office that's also doing fiber optic infrastructure management or monitoring. So that's the kind of services that we are providing here in Davao.
It's incredible, huh? It's so much, you know, there's such greater skills than anyone really gives outsourcing credit for, and especially down in Davao. And, you know, people often talk to me and they say, you know, what's the situation? Do you go with Manila or should we try one of these other cities? What's your answer to that? You know, how do you give people sort of assurance that these cities like Davao have the requirements that people need, have the suppliers?
Yeah, I get asked about that a lot as well, like for companies that are evaluating whether they should locate in Manila or Cebu or Davao. So we highlight some key factors in Davao. First, Davao has the talents. We have a lot of universities in the city, and or in the neighboring cities. There are other cities that are like just an hour or 30 minutes drive away from Davao. We call them, that's part of our catch basin for talents. We graduate around 35,000 to 40,000 graduates every year. So that's a kind of talent pool that we have, especially for IT and technical and on the business side. We also have a very good infrastructure in terms of power. We have a very good power system in place in the island, especially for the city, or private publicly listed company, one of the biggest, largest in the Philippines, called Abuitis Equity Ventures, and they also provide the services through Davao Light in Davao City. We have a very good internet infrastructure. We have the two major telcos here. Both of them are providing services, as well as the other value-added service providers that are also providing, serving, you know, good internet access to the businesses. At the moment, we have more than 30 BPO companies. We're employing around 35 to 40,000 in the industry at the moment right now. So that should already speak a lot about what Davao can offer. It's safe. We're not in the path of the typhoon. As you know, Derek, we get more than 20 typhoons every year in the Philippines, and Davao has never been hit ever. So that's one of the highlights that we can we can mention. Yeah. And of course, the government, the local government, helps in providing very good support for the ease of doing business in the city. They provide incentives to those who are locating or investing in the city. So you have the industry, the private industry, and the government working together to make sure that the business environment is very ideal for those who are looking to outsource in the Philippines. So all that kind of support in place makes Davao a very good destination.
That's true, isn't it? There's a lot of political will to get outsourcing out into, you know, away from Manila, because Manila's now getting so congested. Everyone's in Manila, and it's just getting kind of locked down. So there's a big push out to the secondary and tertiary cities. And also, you returned from Manila. You get a lot of people that kind of do their training, start their profession in Manila, but then want to return home to their families. So you get a lot of brains returning home,
right. A lot of the profiles of my employees are, I think what they do is that when they graduate from college, they haven't been to Manila, they want to go there and work, but eventually after 2 or 3 years they realize that this is not the place for me, traffic and all, and quality of life. So they decided, let's go back to Manila. So we have a lot of them coming back already, and also, we have people that are from Manila that gets assigned to do some training in Davao, and they don't want to return. They want to stay. That tells you about the quality of life that Davao has to offer.
For sure, for sure. So, next BPO, you have a strong IT and tech background. What is that the sort of angle that you pursue with your outsourcing services, or do you do general services?
We our strength is on the IT and tech support, but we also provide general services. We have a contact center service, which is a portion of only what we do. But largely, what we do is really IT outsourcing. for the enterprise and for the highly technical staff up to level 3 of support. So that's where we are focused on. There's no limit what we intend to do, but we want to focus on the IT services.
Right. You shared some sort of quite incredible examples of clients, and it always amazes me, and I've been in this game, nearly 10 years now, and I think it's important to convey these activities to people external to outsourcing, because it's surprising how much can be done from people sitting in a room in a different country, isn't it? Like, it's just mind-blowing. And there's really no limits, to the sort of aspects or components of what parts of a business can be done remotely now. What are some of those examples that we were talking about?
Yes, we have one team right now in our office here in Davao. As you know, internet, we become one. Like, the world is now very small because of the internet. Everything's connected. What people don't know is that the countries are not only connected via satellite. Mainly, large traffic, the huge traffic in the internet, go through fiber optic cables, and these are not in cities. In land, you can see them, maybe overhang overhead terrestrial cable installations. But what most people don't know is that the major traffic go through subsea cables. These are submarine cables, fiber optic cables that connects islands. They connect the islands of the Philippines. They connect Singapore to Guam. And they connect Europe to the U.S. All of these are running through fiber optic cables. Very, very expensive assets, both for the telecommunications companies, and some of them are power companies that are also running, providing services, crossing the islands, installing the subsea cables.
And it does happen, doesn't it? Sometimes these subsea cables get knocked out, and then it literally shuts down entire parts of countries, or there's extra load on the remaining cables. Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
Yes, so when that happens, maybe a ship passes by, drops anchor on the cables, and the people get disconnected, and it costs millions of dollars to fix them. What our team does here is that we have a view of all of these subsea cables, at least for those that are subscribing to the services. We monitor all of these subsea cables in Europe, in Asia, in the US, in the Middle East. We make sure that these ships don't go near the cables or don't drop anchors. So we have this inter-dashboard in front of the agents that we have here, or our monitoring agents that we have here, working 24/7. Whenever a ship crosses what they call the alarm zone or the danger zone, an alert will be sent to the team, and then they will take note, look at it in the map, zoom in on the map, and then determine the distance, the speed, the location of this ship. they will be able to identify the ship. They have access to this information through their EIS, and then they will be able to directly contact the ship owners or the ship captain on board, and they can tell them, you know, where they're going, and then they can tell them, you know, to veer off either how many degrees to port side or to their starboard, and to avoid hitting cable, or just to let them know that there's a subsea cable right underneath them for them not to drop the anchor. So they monitor that. They monitor the weather. They will be able to understand how fast the ship is going. By doing that, we prevent fiber optic cables being broken, being disconnected. And that allows for the internet services and the power services to be continuous, to be not disrupted.
And, you know, that's an incredible business, isn't it? It's a highly unique business. Oh. You were saying, you know, the business is based in Europe, but pretty much every function is done in Davao. Now, it's not the bookkeeping or customer service that's done in Davao. The core functions are actually done from your office. And you've shown me photos, yes. And there are monitors over the walls. It looks like some sort of CIA bunker.
Command center.
Yeah. Super, super advanced kind of stuff. And, you know, that is an operation that has effectively been born out of Davao with the Davao skill sets. What you know, just deep diving on that, what kind of skill sets do the agents have? Do they have background in maritime or IT, or you just train them from scratch?
Most of them have backgrounds in IT because of a lot of the IT tools that they need to be familiar with. The maritime knowledge are provided during their training as part of the process of them using the tools in the system. But most of them are IT. They have good communication skills, both in their in emails and in their oral communications, because they have to be able to call ship captains and officers or coast guards from different countries. So the primary skill sets are really so IT and communication skills. The rest can be trained for them to do their jobs. 24/7, they're working 24/7.
Yeah, and this is a company that is unique in nature. It's a unique product, and you know, it is only an entrepreneurial company, though. It's not, you know, like a big conglomerate that does this every day. And you were saying as well that you know, the majority of staff are based in Davao, and you know, it's getting a lot of attention from the world. Yeah, this is a very respected business, and also, you know, just from the business point of view, the company is remunerated by the owners of the undersea cable, because it's far better to have them monitored and secured as opposed to having to pay millions of dollars to replace them.
Correct.
So incredible, you know, and I think it's important to highlight just the exciting kind of business models that are being done, that are being outsourced, and the sort of staffing that's available. So, you know, is it all like this? And you know, we might be kind of losing a few of our sort of more mainstream audience, where they just want a couple of call center staff. If people are interested in exploring your services, how does it kind of work? You know, can you give an insight into the pricing structure? You know, is it by the hour or by the seat? How does it work?
Yes. Yeah, we're avoiding, or we're veering away from the usual hourly pricing used in the industry. Although, you know, we can refer to that from time to time, just to give the clients an idea of how, you know, how much savings they're generating. But the way we structure our pricing is that we are fully transparent in our pricing. By being fully transparent, that means we tell our clients how much we charge them for management fee, because our pricing structure, our pricing model is based on the following structure. We bill our client by using a fixed management fee. From the management fee, we put in the cost for running the office, facilities, providing the computers, project management, providing human resource and payroll management, as well as the benefits administration. The other part of the pricing structure is the transparency in the salaries of the staff. So our clients are well informed, and the staff knows as well how much is the salary that's being approved by the client to be given to them. That being said, the client is also involved in decision making as to how much should be offered to the staff in terms of the skill sets possessed by a certain candidate, matching to the kind of the role that is being offered to them. With that kind of scenario, then our clients are able to realize savings, because they know that if they're paying this much for this employee compared to what they should be paying in their country, they know that they will be able to save as much as 60 to 70%. And yet they are directly involved. We get them involved in the decision making as to how much will be given to the staff in terms of increases based on their periodic evaluation. And also, the clients are able to also make decisions as to what kind of incentives they would like to give to the employees, because they know that it will be given directly to the employees, say at the end of the year, how much bonus they would like to give. So that's the way we structure our pricing, very transparent. So when the client sees it, when they see the invoice, nothing is hidden, everything is there, lay it out on the table, out in the open.
yeah, it's because, you know, you're developing a long-term relationship with the clients, aren't you? And I think transparency is not only the best way, it's really essential, because this isn't a sort of a one-month project you're building. This is an ongoing co-managed partnership. When people, you know, come on board with Next BPO, you've obviously got a lot of IT experience, knowledge, and a lot of, you know, executive leadership experience in building remote teams. Do they get a piece of Next BPO when they, you know, start to build out their teams? How does it work in terms of co-management of solutions?
Well, we have a project team that helps in managing the offshore. We call them the offshore team of our clients. So we also have our own project management group that helps them in the day-to-day monitoring, making sure that the team delivers on their daily tasks or based on their goals, based on their metrics that they are able to provide or deliver those requirements. So that's how we do it. We all our staff, our clients are also directly involved. They can directly communicate with the employees, and we just come in when needed. But that's how we do it, because we don't put any restriction on the communication. So it's all in the open. We only come in when needed. That's how we support our clients here in the office. So even to the point of our clients can send some of their people over and work with the team like for a month. They will be here for a month and work with their team directly for a month. There's no restriction. And that kind of arrangement allows the Philippine team or the Davao team to be a part of the bigger group. And that also lets them know that it's not a dead end career for them. There's a growth for their careers, because there's a chance that they will come a part of the client's company in the future.
Mm, for sure. And how do you recommend people get started? Because I find the biggest hurdle for people is getting started. They freak out a little bit. It's obviously employing a person, which should be taken seriously, but then they think of the complexity and it's overseas, and how do we onboard these people and how do we build the structures? How do you recommend that people dip their toe into outsourcing?
We always recommend our clients to start small. I think that's the reason why we focus on SMEs, because they want to try out the waters first. So we normally recommend for them to start small. We have clients that started as with a team of one, just one person, to just start small. Mm. We also wanted them to be clear in their objectives, because if their objectives is just to save on costs and not really to expand their business, that could be damaging. Because we asked them that if their objective is to build a team, not just to save costs, then we will be able to help them there. We will be the ones that will be helping them in screening the people. We will match the people based on their skill sets. So we also work with them. We have we use some sort of a questionnaire. We have a deep dive meeting with our clients to really understand what kind of roles they want to outsource to us. Mm. And then what kind of skill sets they're looking, what kind of processes in their business that they will be using. We will document all of those things. And then we will hire, based on those understanding, we will hire the kind of the person that matches the role. And to make sure that there's a good match, we even allow our clients to be directly involved in the selection. That's a key part. That's a key factor. The clients should be directly involved. They have to know the people that are assigned to them, because if not, they will not be able to guide the team. They will not be able to help them in growing their business or achieving their objectives, because people will just eventually leave without a sense of belonging, being a part of something big. But if they know the people directly, that builds a relationship, and it allows for a long-term working relationship, not only for us, but also for the client. So they have to be clear on that as well.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think it's important to remind prospective clients that this is as close to standard employment as, as possible. They're not just, people that you grab from the bench and they start doing the role. It's about developing job descriptions. It's about going out to the market, screening people, finding people that fit with the skill sets, but also the culture, the mission, bring them on board, and then spending time with them to onboard them. And, it's in most ways, it's not different to employment in any respect. And that's where I think laying those strong foundations then develops a successful account.
Yeah, we're just taking out the hard part from them. Like we're doing the dirty job of screening, finding the right persons. Because the way we do it, let's say if the client, if they need just one person for a specific role, we'll probably have to interview or to screen at least 10 to 15 people to meet that the requirement for that role. And then we will only forward at least 3 or 4 of the shortlisted candidates to the client to allow the client to select one. So that's how that's how we do the screening, and we have all of the systems for the screening in place already that will allow us to already single out a good candidate, and we know that will be a good fit for the roles.
For sure, it's a huge value add, isn't it? That I think a lot of people overlook. If people use recruiters in their own countries, it could be thousands or tens of thousands of dollars just to get in the door of recruitment. Whereas, it's all sort of wrapped up in a done for you with the outsourcing industry. And often, the outsourcing suppliers like yourself, you can spot a good candidate. You know the local market. You probably already have a pretty extensive list of prospective candidates as well. So there's a lot of lot of value adds there.
Yes, and then I think that explains why our attrition rate is lower than the rest of the industry. By providing a good fit and a good match with the candidate, with the talent, and then with the client, and then if they gel, and then that allows the staff to stay longer, and it's to the good benefit of the client, because the staff will be productive, more productive, instead of just every year, every 6 months, training new people. It's a challenge to keep changing people, keep training, and then keep replacing, other than growing them within the team and then letting them stay for 2-3 years on the same account.
For sure. And in terms of the onboarding, the training, the skill development, how much do you see is your role in training a new client to outsourcing versus actually getting the staff member up to speed? Do you see that there is a learning curve for people that are starting to build an offshore team?
Yes, there's a learning curve. There's a learning curve for them, especially for those that are doing this for the first time. We prefer to work with potential clients that will be outsourcing to the Philippines for the first time, because it allows us to help them establish a good process. That's the reason why we go into a deep dive meeting with them to understand the process that they're doing, and we will document that. We will document that, and then we will recommend certain processes to each client to make sure that it meets their operational requirements. Having done that, then we will be involved directly in the training of the new team, and then eventually, when the team grows, then the client does not need to be involved anymore in the training, because our project team in the Philippines will be able to already take over and do their training. The client doesn't have to worry anymore, except if it's a new process that they're handing over. So that's the kind of value that we add to the client. We help in documenting their processes. We guide them on how the best way to do it. We even provide recommendations of the kind of technology that will have to be used to make it easier for them, both in the management of the team and both also in the achieving their goals, so that at the end of the day, it's all about efficiency and savings, and we want to help them achieve that.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people when they're starting out, they are concerned about, what if it goes wrong? How do I get out of this? What are the easy way outs? But often people forget, or they overlook what happens if this is so successful and we build a big team and then things change and we want to maybe, you know, build our own office. You know, very so much the focus is on, you know, how do I protect my downside? And so often we see the opposite, that the accounts are far more successful and they grow far faster than what they expect. And then sometimes the contracts they sign at the beginning aren't suitable for a bigger or more mature team. How do you, you know, manage that with your clients?
Yes, a good question. We've when we started the company, I was using it based on my experience. I saw the possibility of growth for the client. It's not just about savings, it's growing the business, and eventually their business will grow in the Philippines. They would like to be able to hire the team directly, but most of the contracts indeed are structured in such a way that there will be non-competition and non-solicitation clauses in place, not only in the terms of the contract with the client, but also in the contract of the employee with the company. So when I hire the team, the employee, that employee is prohibited from working directly, even if they're no longer employed or even if the client is no longer connected with the company. They are prohibited from working directly with that client for the next 2 or 3 years because of the non-circumvention and non-solicitation clauses. And I've seen that happen, and I've seen it cause problems before. So we address it at the outset right away, and we talk to our clients. We ask them about the objectives, and we ask them, do you intend, when your team grows in the Philippines, do you intend to hire them directly? You know. So from the very beginning, before we even start, we already ask them how do they want to exit, What kind of exit do they want? Because we want to give them a very smooth transition of growing their business in the Philippines. So what we allow them to do is that we let them hire the staff directly after 2 years. So we have perfected that process already, and we have already turned over 3 teams to successful clients in the Philippines. Two of these teams are in Davao still, and they have grown triple their numbers. And we maintain a good relationship with everybody because we no litigation that has to be involved. The client exercise their option. We have the process in place to do that, and we turned over a good team to them. Everybody just switch from us to the client the next day, and then most of the time the clients are seek our help anyway in setting up their own team in the Philippines, in their setting up their business. We provide that help for them. We guide them until such time that they are ready to move into their new office. So that's the kind of the business model that we provide our client. It's not like, okay, we don't want to be beholden to you, and we don't want to prohibit you from growing. So if that happens, when growth happens, we will be there to support them all the way to the end.
Yeah, and you see it so often, don't you? It's such a win-win for everyone, really, for the client and, yes, and of course, the staff and teams, your BPO and the Philippines as well. It's incredible that people start here. They're pretty, worried about the whole thing. They're pretty timid. They hire one or two seats, and then as soon as they get comfortable, they see the huge potential, and they're sort of adding, people by the day or week or month. It's really quite an exciting period for a lot of clients, isn't it? It can be, of course, sometimes a rocky start. I remind people that outsourcing is no silver bullet. It's still hard. You're still managing an operational team. And navigating the sort of ins and outs of business, but the vast majority of clients really, really do have incredible results.
Right, and then we can't keep that from happening. Growth can happen, and we don't want to block that from happening, and it will benefit the city anyway if they locate in the city. More employment will be added. So we provide that option to them from the very beginning. And so they know that if they want to go that direction, it will not be difficult. But for some clients, for them, it doesn't make sense to go that direction. They want to stay. So we have clients that are with us already for the past 4 or 5 years. Mm. Some of them, because of the numbers that they're getting, because of the growth that they're achieving, it makes sense for them to already establish their own office. And we help make that happen in the easiest way possible, so that it will be that difficult for everybody.
Yeah, and it's incredible. You know, I just think it's so important to highlight the fact that everyone is behind the outsourcing industry in the Philippines. It gets such incredible support, you know, from, well, obviously the industry players, but as well, you know, these ICT councils, the government, everyone is the local councils, everyone is doing as much as they can to support this industry, to support foreign investment and foreign clients, you know, so it's really a fertile and positive environment for people to come into.
Yes, so just to give you an example, we have this client in a few years ago, they're out of Sydney in Australia. So they started with us, and from the very beginning, I asked them when we started, do you intend to grow your team, and how many people do you intend to put in the Philippines, and do you intend to hire them eventually? And they said, we're just going to need around 25 people maybe, but it would be nice to be able to hire them directly if it ever comes to that. So we put that as an option already in the contract. True enough, after 3 years, the team has grown, and it makes sense for them to establish their own office. So we turned over the team to them. They registered a new company in Davao City. They set up their own operations, and lo and behold, I just learned about a few months ago that their team is now from 30, they've grown to 150 people.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the tremendous success that they're enjoying here in Davao, supporting their business in Australia.
Yeah, incredible, huh? Incredible. Fantastic. Eric, it's been amazing. We've known each other for a little while, but of course we got time to, you know, spend and really get to know each other over the last few days. And fantastic to see Davao, and I would really recommend that people consider, of course, Next BPO, have a chat to Eric, but also, you know, the skills and the vast opportunity down in other cities other than Manila, as an example, Davao. Eric, if people want to know more or have questions or want to get in touch with you, how should they do that?
First, they can go through our website, our URL, nextbposolutions.com. That's N-E-X-T, solutions.com. Or they can shoot me an email. That's eric@nextbposolutions.com. E-R-I-C at nextbposolutions.com. And I will be happy to engage them in a call and see how we can help them in their outsourcing requirements.
Amazing. Thank you, Eric. And all of that will be in the show notes. And thank you for joining us. Okay, that was Eric Manalastas of Next BPO Solutions. If you want to get in touch with Eric or know any more about this podcast, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/268. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.